Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
And welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Wayne.
I'm Lyle. And Chris can't be with us today. He's not feeling very well.
Yeah, again, people figured that out by me doing the intro. And oh, great, that means I'm going to have to do the outro. And why don't we record that stupid thing?
I've been saying that for 3 years.
I know you have.
Of course, I don't actually record it myself. So. Today I saw the trailer for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, so that looks pretty cool.
When's that coming out?
That's a very good question.
Soon!
I actually, 2014. Okay. Sorry, that's all I saw.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, whatever it'll be, it'll probably be like 3 months after the rest of the world gets it.
July 11th.
Okay. So that'll mean be like October for us here in Japan, probably.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how popular it was when it came out, the Rise of the Planet of the Apes came out.
Well, the monkeys in that are not cute, so I doubt it did very well here.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
So again, after doing that crap movies, great games episode, I went and watched a couple other crap movies, hoping to mine them for a possible future episode. And one of the ones you suggested, Lyle, was Ballistic X vs. Sever with Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu. And man, that was a bad movie.
Well, it was on the worst movies of all time list.
It was.
0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I totally see why it was on that list now. Unfortunately, nothing to pull out of it to make a great game.
So I won't watch it.
Yeah. I've spared you that.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's nothing you could pull out of that movie that doesn't already exist in any other spy action movie. So, and another one was Vin Diesel, Babylon AD, which might as well have been a science fiction Lady in the Water.
Ooh, is that bad?
It was that bad, and also the plot was a little bit similar, too, in that Vin Diesel has to...
Is the lady?
No. There's not, no.
Is there a lady?
There's a lady. Vin Diesel kind of has to protect her. And again, she kind of can't really do all that much for herself. You know, it's a bit like Transporter and a bit like Lady in the Water. And goes absolutely nowhere. And the end is absolutely terrible. It doesn't really resolve anything and leaves you there scratching your head going, why did I just waste 2 hours of my life watching this thing?
All right. So I won't be watching that one either.
Nope. You're welcome, listeners at home. I have saved you from these movies.
So Wayne recommended this thing called Bundle of Holding to me, and the one that we're getting in on is a Delta Green bundle, so that looks pretty good. And the proceeds, or part of the proceeds, go to some charities. One is Doctors Without Borders.
Right.
And the other is something less memorable. What's it?
Oh, the FBI Agents Association Membership Assistance Fund.
Okay.
Kind of makes sense for Delta Green. Well,
yeah, it does make sense. No idea what that charity would do. Sorry.
Is that it?
Who are the assistants?
The FBI Agents Association Membership Assistance Fund. No T. As in assistance, as in help.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant assistance.
No, not
people they get the fake badge and they call the FBI a lot with their tips. And I was just like, yeah, I guess. Is it another UFO sighting? Sure. Yeah. Do we need to fund these people?
So we're
giving assistance to the FBI.
Yes.
Okay.
So now I've gotten a few bundles from the Bundle of Holding before it, and what they do is, I think about every month, they put out a new bundle where for a very minimal pay what you want cost, you get DRM-free, non-watermarked PDFs. And if you give above a certain threshold, which I think is the average threshold of what everybody gives, then you also get a bunch of bonus material.
Yeah, and I'm with the Delta Green, it's like two core books for $9.
Right.
And then for over $21, you get one of the best supplements, or the best supplement for Delta Green Countdown, and some other books as well. So it's a really good value. And it's something like a $90 value for $20.
Yes. So, yeah. And they put out a new bundle, I think about every month. And again, all of them are pretty much pay what you want. And you get a lot of bonuses if you pay over a certain amount. And they're generally grouped along a theme. Like one of the past ones was, you know, Traveler. This was Delta Green. They focused on time period. So like medieval things in an assortment of games there. They've done like an indie bundle. One of them was Fate. I think that's really cool, and it's a great way to get titles at a fantastic price.
So Wayne and I have seen or are currently watching Sons of Anarchy, and by currently I mean ongoing, not like right as we speak.
Right.
I think, Wayne, you're done season one already.
Yes, I finished season one and am waiting for you to catch up.
You finished it in like a week.
A, it's a good show. B, I had a lot of freelance work to do, and so just put it on in, you know, a window next to whatever I was working on.
Right. And that became the inspiration for this episode and this installment of Creature Feature, and that is Outlaw Motorcycle Clubs. Now, because it comes from Sons of Anarchy, to be honest, we didn't really have a lot of interest in this topic until we started watching this TV series, which I think is great. So a lot of our references in that are probably going to come from Sons of Anarchy, but we also did some additional research into Outlaw Motorcycle Clubs. For those unfamiliar with Creature Feature, it's where we look at a creature, either conventional or unconventional. We start off looking at this creature in myths and legends as well as real life, if possible. And then we look at how to play them as antagonists and how to play them as protagonists.
Right.
Yeah, some unconventional ones in the past have been bankers.
Femme fatales.
Uh-huh.
And gangsters.
And gangsters. I was like, I think, did we do mafia? No, we called them gangsters. We
called them gangsters. Yeah. And gangsters was one of our earlier creature features where we discussed a lot about whether it should be a creature feature or not, since it's a person. Or rather, no, since they're people.
Right. And some more conventional ones should be like giants, mummies, vampires.
Right.
All right. So when researching outlaw motorcycle clubs, Wayne, what did you find interesting?
One of the things I found interesting was how they were classified as an outlaw motorcycle club. Because, again, as you mentioned, the inspiration for this episode came from watching Sons of Anarchy, and the motorcycle club in that show are very much criminals. So, not that I assumed all motorcycle clubs, you know, were some kind of criminal organization, but usually the only time you hear about motorcycle clubs in the news is for crimes. And I was wondering, I know there are, you know, non-criminal organizations, because they can't all be bad, and I guess finally figuring out, or not finally, because I wasn't interested until recently, that the outlaw motorcycle clubs are designated as such because they are not recognized by the American Motorcyclist Association, the AMA. So basically, any motorcycle club who is not part of the AMA is pretty much an outlaw motorcycle club.
Right. AMA being something I'd never heard of until I started researching.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Although I do know some police officers, or cops, if you're in a motorcycle club, who are part of like their own motorcycle clubs. So I understood the idea that there were, I guess, non-biker gangs or clubs. Yeah.
Right.
And actually, when I started watching Sons of Anarchy, I mean, they have their vests, their colors. And we'll be just dropping some of the lingo here and there in the episode.
Right, because we're so into the culture.
And it has, like, MC.
Yeah, yeah,
on the back. And it took me a while, like, MC, a motorcycle club, yeah.
Yep, I didn't realize that either.
I had to see it on more than one person's back before I, like, put two and two together. And Sam Crow, this is embarrassing, several episodes in, I thought Sam Crow was a person. I'm like, Sam, is that Ron Perlman? I'm pretty sure that he goes by another name. Why do they keep calling him Sam Crow?
Right.
And it stands for Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club Redwood Originals.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing MC could refer to instead of motorcycle club is also the mother chapter, which is the first chapter of a motorcycle club. So kind of like a fraternity, you know, the original chapter that then sort of becomes national or sponsors other offshoot clubs or branches would be known as the mother chapter. And I'm pretty sure the people that we follow in Sons of Anarchy, I'm pretty sure they are the mother chapter of the Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, they are. They're Redwood Originals. So there's 9 founding members, one of them being the main character's father, who's dead. The other being Ron Perlman. Another one being the guy who has who needs the oxygen tank.
Right, right.
And everybody else is gone. What I really liked, and watching the series and just looking at the motorcycle clubs, or the outlaw motorcycle clubs, two things that really struck me is the idea is, like, the outlaw, sure, they are, I mean, the idea that they're like the 1%, like 99% are part of the American Motorcycle Association.
Right.
And law-abiding, and then the 1% who are all the criminals. But the idea is they're just nonconformists.
Mm.
And that's more of, I mean, sure, there's Hell's Angels, and they do prostitution or deal in drugs or run guns and all of that. And the Sons of Anarchy do some of that. But it was founded, and a lot of these clubs were founded because of, like, ex-veterans who don't fit into regular society.
Mm.
So when they started to appear after World War II, they were, a lot of them were veterans who no longer fit. And the Sons of Anarchy kind of follow that idea, except they're ex-Vietnam veterans.
Right, right.
And if you go back to, I think, the first big biker movie, which is The Wild One with Marlon Brando, it has that line, it's like, what are you rebelling against, Johnny? And he says, what do you got?
Mm.
And that's what they are. They're like, they're rebels. But I really like that. And I also liked, even though they're rebels, they kind of poured over this quasi-military, quasi-family organization.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They got the president, vice president, treasurer, sergeant at arms.
Right. No, watching Sons of Anarchy and then doing the research and, yeah, finding out what kind of all the club positions are that you mentioned, you know, and then seeing that members who have yet to become full members are called prospects, watching that reminded me very much of a fraternity, because I was in a fraternity during your university, and we had a lot of those positions and terms. And the fact that, at least in the Sons of Anarchy TV show, members frequently call each other brother. That's another kind of, you know, fraternity thing. So you're right. It is very much, I don't know if I would call it like a military organization, but it definitely is seen as like an extended family. Almost kind of like the mafia.
You know, when Russell Crowe was preparing for Gladiator, one of the things he did, besides getting into shape, because he can really balloon out there, whoa, is he took a bunch of his buddies on motorcycles and they rode around Australia. Because kind of that pack mentality.
Right.
And he thought, you know, you can lead the group of bikers. That'll help them get into the mindset of somebody who can lead soldiers into battle.
Hmm.
But there's also that juxtaposition with the motorcycle clubs. They're nonconformists, yet they group themselves together and then follow fairly rigid laws and the same laws. Like, all these clubs follow very similar structures. And as you said, they follow a structure very similar to a fraternity.
Well, I think you would kind of have to, otherwise there wouldn't be a club, because everybody would kind of go their separate ways after a while, after, you know, realizing how incompatible they were or breaking some of these rules.
No, I understand the need, but it's just the idea is, like, society, we don't subscribe to society's rules, but we'll subscribe to these rules.
Yeah, well, yeah, I recognize the irony, but it's also kind of like, okay, we'll conform to these rules because we helped make these rules ourselves.
Except you didn't, because you came in as a prospect. Anyway.
Well, okay. I'm thinking of the original members, right?
No, so I really like that. Other things, the idea of the colors, and within the Sons of Anarchy, not only do you wear your colors on your vest, but you get them tattooed on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And that can pose some problems if you leave the club.
Yes.
It's easy to turn in your vest, but not a full back tattoo.
Yeah, you're right about the colors. And again, doing the research for this episode kind of made me think of the Warriors Musketeer episode we did, where the colors and the patch and the club insignia are very prominently displayed by the members. So it's not as if they are trying to hide who they are by any means. I mean, in the show Sons of Anarchy, you're right, they have these giant patches on their back, they have, you know, full-on tattoos, their bikes sport the symbols of the Sons of Anarchy. So it's not as if they are trying to blend in, and I guess this gets back to the whole not conforming to society's rules idea, where if you're part of a motorcycle club, probably an outlaw motorcycle club, you're going to show off who you are and that you belong to that club.
Yeah, before the episode, you were saying that if you're looking at them as a criminal organization, this is something that really differentiates them from other criminals, is that they're very, very open.
Right.
About their affiliation. Now, a lot of gangs do as well. I guess the Crips and the Bloods, they have the colors
that
they would wear, and other gangs as well. So there is that identification, but just like parading around the street with their packs, to the point where the Hell's Angels can actually go to court and sue companies like Disney,
right,
for intellectual property infringement.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting and kind of didn't expect that to actually happen. But yeah, like you're right. The outlaw biker clubs are not totally unique simply because they don't hide who they are, as you said. Like other types of gangs will often display colors, or like if you're in the mob, you know, I'm sure that oftentimes that is not a secret and you display that. But it's kind of, and maybe we'll get into more of this later, the outlaw motorcycle club is very much on both sides of the law, where they have a public face where they display who they are, but then they also kind of have the possibly criminal face, but they're still displaying who they are. So it's not like they separate those two sides all that much.
Oh, absolutely. And getting back to the intellectual property, they are a gang. I mean, the Crips and the Bloods have been trademarked blue and red.
Right. Because if they did, we'd all be in trouble.
Right. But somebody like the Hells Angels can actually trademark what they have, because their style, their affiliation is something that's trademarkable. It's a full-on coat of arms, if you will, or a logo, or like a company, like a trademark logo.
Right.
So they've gone that one step further. So again, they're so nonconformist that they've almost created their own cluster.
Yeah. No. That's a very excellent way to put it. Yeah. Can't believe they went to went to court over yo-yo emblems.
Yeah. Sued Toys R Us. They've sued Walt Disney. And when you think about it, even though these are guys that trade in human flesh, drugs, and guns, you're like, yeah, stick it to Disney.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty sad when you're like, yeah, I want the outlaw bikers to stick it to Disney.
You do that.
Wow. Yeah.
IP is sacred.
Yeah.
Well, that would be cool if they sued, like, Games Workshop or something.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
So if you're going to have an outlaw biker club in your game, what are the elements that it absolutely needs?
I think first and foremost, as we've been talking about, they need that identifiability. These aren't just guys on motorcycles. These are guys who belong to a club, and you can immediately identify that by their iconic emblems, patches, and colors that they wear.
I was going to say motorcycles.
All right, smart guy.
They're not just guys on motorcycles, but yeah, motorcycles too.
all right, fine.
Yeah, absolutely. They call them colors, or they call them patches. And what we learned from Sons of Anarchy is they have an interesting ceremony, an interesting term, when one gang takes over another, and it's called a patch over.
Right.
And if the TV series is 100% accurate.
Which TV always is.
Yeah, of course. It's practically a documentary. As they go in and they... I believe it's a lot like a corporation where it can be a merger or it can be a takeover.
Right.
Except in either case, one patch or one name is going to trump the other.
Well, again, to bring up the fraternity and sorority thing, when I was in university, one of the sororities that my fraternity was really close with started out as a local sorority, meaning there was only this one chapter that didn't exist anywhere else. And I don't know the exact reason, but maybe about like second or third year of university, they became part of a national organization, which meant that they swapped their letters for the letters of this nationally recognized sorority and became a chapter of this nationally recognized sorority. So, again, kind of watching the episode where this club does patch over and become part of the Sons of Anarchy, again, reminded me of something that was kind of similar to a fraternity or a sorority, where, okay, you may have been an independent group or you may have been kind of associated with us somehow, but, you know, maybe just like friends or not necessarily in it having our name, but now you are a chapter of this larger group. So,
with the sorority, do they have something like a patchover party?
I have no idea. I just know that, like, I know they did this much like an outlaw biker club. What happens in fraternity and sorority houses are completely off limits to those not in the club.
Okay.
Or part of it. All I know is they joined a national. Don't know how that happened, the process. Don't know if there was a party. Don't know if they put it to a vote or if people left the club or left the sorority because they didn't want to be part of this national organization anymore. That could have happened. I just kind of saw the outside results.
Okay. Just wanted to know if there was sex and drugs and drinking.
There may have been.
But you don't. Okay.
I don't know. But anyway.
I think following up on that, you need a motorcycle. You need some sort of, because they are mobile, you need some sort of mode of transportation that's the same that they all share.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they all ride a motorcycle. We can already switch it up to different places and right. different time periods. It could be all horses. I think a club that just walks or hikes together, kind of lame.
That's kind of lame. Kind of lame.
I'll wear boots. Yeah. Jogging club. Yeah. It's not the same, but, you know, some sort of something that can be badass. The muscle cars.
Right.
Would be pretty cool. I mean, you watch a movie like The Road Warrior, even prior to that, Mad Max, where there actually were biker gangs.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
And that one in The Road Warrior, a bit of a mix.
Hmm.
But. Yeah. Something that helps unify them other than like their uniform, but also their mode of transportation, I think, is another thing that could do that. It could be jet bikes. If you take from the Eldar and you think of the Sam Hain.
Right.
That's how you pronounce that, the red and white Eldar.
Or if you're going into 40K territory, the Ravenwing.
Well, I was talking 40K. You're thinking of...
No. I was thinking of the Space Marines on bikes, the Ravenwing.
Right, right. But Eldar 40K, too.
Okay.
Oh, so if you're...
If you're going into 40K,
okay, I get you.
I didn't say they were Eldar, yeah. Sorry. But, no, I think, yeah, whatever vehicle is kind of appropriate for the setting or genre you're telling, like it could be horses in fantasy or jet bikes or whatever, whatever it is, I think another, maybe not key aspect, but something to think about is what the club uses as a front if they are running criminal operations. Or another kind of way that the club sticks together is maintenance of the vehicle. Like in Sons of Anarchy, which is, again, 100% accurate, they run a mechanic shop as kind of right. like a front. And a lot of people who are, you know, not necessarily prospects, but they have a lot of mechanics, and almost all of the people who are in the club are also mechanics. So... there's also that shared interest of, you know, maintaining and modifying the vehicle you are riding, which I guess you could do with horses because you do kind of have to take care of them and
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. But I don't know. I don't think it would have the exact same feel because you can't modify a horse.
I think it's a really good point that you raise. I think, yeah, sure, you're going to lose some things such as the modification, but then you might get into, like, the horse whisperer, because this might get into later on in the episode when we talk about different roles within the gang that you can have for your game, but somebody who's a really good horse whisperer, then they're deriving their status through their ability to interact with the mode of transportation.
Right.
I mean, you can soup it up with maybe you put armor, like spikes and that on your horse or something like that.
Okay, yeah, I could definitely see that, yeah.
Yeah, I probably would prefer something more mechanical myself, but I wouldn't want to say that once you, if you're going to do an Outlaw Motorcycle Club version or fantasy version of them, it's got to be Spelljammer or something like that.
So right, you can, right.
I mean, I think you could do like the cavalry unit. Cavalry unit.
Yeah, because not the place. Yeah, the horse rider. Yeah. Yeah, the cavalry. Yeah. I do like the armor option if you're going to go with horses, because that does give you something to tinker with and modify other than flesh. So.
But I also think that whatever the mode of transportation is, it has to be a little badass.
Yeah.
And it gets into I mean, there has to be some danger associated with it. I mean, a club of Volvo riders is probably not going to do it, or people with covered wagons. Those are not associated with badassery. So,
right.
I think that's important. And it also gets into, and I'm going to argue that this is somewhat important for an outlaw motorcycle club, is kind of their sex appeal and danger appeal. So those people who aren't necessarily attracted to those people on the motorcycle club, they're attracted to that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Or then you have people that actually be attracted to people within the club because they're in that club. There's a term that they have for the female passengers on the back of a motorcycle. Now they're called back warmers. You also have like the old ladies, and those are the women that are associated, like kind of hooked up, like they're seeing or married to a member of the club.
Right.
Now, of course, I'm going to say that outlaw motorcycle clubs tend to be fairly male.
Mm-hmm.
And women would play a secondary role. It doesn't necessarily mean in your game you have to follow those conventions. But whatever it is, when it's a female biker, men just find her sexy, not necessarily because she's attractive, although she can be, but because she's in that club.
All that leather.
And she does what you do. Yeah, all that leather, that motorcycle, like those things. And then women look at her and there is that idea that they want to be her, even though they are too afraid to throw away all their trappings.
Mm-hmm.
So that danger or sex appeal.
Yeah, maybe part of the danger appeal is, as you said, Lyle, these are outlaw motorcycle clubs and they have thrown away the trappings of society, and yeah, people in society, abiding by society's rules, look at that freedom, and some of them are jealous or you know, they want that kind of freedom. And smart people realize with that freedom comes a lot of danger. So again, that gets back to the danger appeal, or it could just be envy at the freedom that the biker clubs have.
Right. I think another thing that the club needs in a game would be that sort of backstory, is why it was formed, like where they came from.
Right.
Or where the individuals came from, because it seems to be like two ways. Is you form a club because, you know, maybe after a war, you got the ex-veterans coming in and then start forming these clubs. And I'm gonna take a guess here that if you look at like the history of these outlaw motorcycle clubs, you would see spikes within. Actually, you know, it's not a guess, because if I look at the list of outlaw motorcycle clubs, you see a lot of dates, a lot of them in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And the others like came in the after World War II.
Okay, yeah.
So something like that would spark, you know, where you're going to have a lot of disenfranchised individuals, or people that are in the family. So they're in that community or that family. So it goes back generations. Again, I'm going to say that you're going to say fraternity. I'm going to say military.
Okay.
But kind of that idea of, yeah, sure, a brotherhood or whatever. Yeah. So people in the military sometimes will go back, you know, on three generations Marine or something.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, when you said military, I kind of assumed the structure rather than the sense of brotherhood that you would get from serving the same unit. But no, that's a good point. So I think probably if you go back and look at how a lot of biker clubs, outlaw motorcycle clubs formed, as you said, it was the sense of being disenfranchised, and so saying, screw you, society, I'm going to go off and do my own thing, which I guess maybe is different from like the mob or a gang, where at least the vibe I get from those organizations is either making money or, you know, being criminals, but often to make money, where I don't know if many biker gangs form, at least at the outset, for that purpose.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there is some sort of, because if you look at a lot of the gangs or the organized crime, they do come from immigrant communities or...
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah. Or like poor communities. And I'm not saying I get anti-immigrant or anything like that, but just right. People who, like when the Italians first came, they would have been considered second or third class citizens.
Right.
So they would have had a hard time, I mean, fitting into the established order.
No,
so
you're...
then you have the organized crime filling that void for them, and also attracting people in that community. I mean, maybe that's just a crime thing in general.
No, you're absolutely right thinking about it now. Yeah, most of these things formed because, for whatever reason, whether it's due to ethnic or economic reasons, the people who make up these groups feel disenfranchised with the current system and so turn somewhere else.
But, you know, having said that and starting to like crystallize this idea, it was getting into another thing that I read about motorcycle clubs being very much racially segregated.
Right.
Like one club called the Mongols.
Yeah.
Actually
yeah.
formed because I believe they're Hispanic, and these members couldn't get into the Hells Angels.
Hmm.
So they formed their own group, and a rival group. So, but if you look at the original clubs, you're looking at white males. So not a traditional, not necessarily Italian white males, because we mentioned about them, but white males who may not be from traditionally segregated or disenfranchised groups, but suddenly feel disenfranchised.
Hmm.
So then they actually fit in. I mean, they can be the good old boys in the South, or they could, you know, be the everyday guy up north. But now suddenly something's happened, such as the war. They come back and say, this doesn't seem right to me anymore.
Right.
Kind of like the beatniks. I mean, for whatever reason, it's not necessarily because there's something with the color of their skin or the way their last name or what religion they follow. It's just like something happened. You know, maybe they read a book and they went off into coffee shops and these other guys went and did something more badass and started riding bikes. And
hey, reading a book and playing the drums or an upturned suitcase in a smoky cafe, that can be pretty badass. No? Okay.
Yeah.
No,
what kind of poetry do you like? What do you got?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I read that too, where generally for whatever reason, the motorcycle clubs are pretty segregated with both, referring to both race and gender. And honestly, I don't know if that's something you would want to play up, in a game, but I definitely think there has to be that something that's tying everybody together other than just the fact that they like motorcycles and are possibly mechanics. You know, it's that idea of same attracts same. And these people are together because they have, you know, multiple things in common.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if you'd necessarily want to play it up, but if the players are comfortable playing it up, it does open up some story ideas and story possibilities. It makes the groups easily identifiable, not only because of their patches and their colors, but by the color of their skin, perhaps, or their names.
Right.
Some groups within the Sons of Anarchy, of course, are the Sons of Anarchy, white. Then there's the Mayans, who are another outlaw motorcycle club, except they're Hispanic.
Right.
Then there's the Nordics, who are just a white supremacist group. And then there are the Nines?
Yeah.
The Niners. And they're in a different city, but they are African American, and they would be... I haven't seen much of them, but I would imagine they're like a typical gangbanger group.
Yeah, at least from the show, I think like the Nords and the Niners are pretty much gangs as opposed to the outlaw motorcycle clubs. But in real life, there's the East Bay Dragons Motorcycle Club, which is an all-African-American outlaw motorcycle club.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought that was pretty interesting. And apparently, according to them and the Hells Angels, the two are friends. And they're not racially segregated because they want to. It's just kind of, you know, like gathering to like. So, as you said, focusing on, or at least introducing the racial makeup of the groups does open a lot of story ideas. Personally, I think I'd be more comfortable in a fantasy or science fiction where you can do it with imaginary races, you know. I think everybody's a bit more tolerant of the racial thing. We can say, yep, that's the elf outlaw biker gang, and that's the dwarf outlaw biker gang. Or, you know, that's, if you're doing like Vampire, that's the Nosferatu outlaw biker gang, and that's the Ventru outlaw biker gang, where it's not real world ethnicities or groups.
No, that is a good point. Yeah, I think people would get comfortable in, you know, getting behind the stereotypes and generalizations if they are fake. Well, I guess, you know. Fictional yeah. stereotypes and generalizations.
Right, right.
So you can really play up the elves being really elvy, as opposed to walking in trying to play, you know, Mexican Americans in a certain way.
Right.
And you're like, okay, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah. I'm now picturing the elves all riding biodiesel motorcycles because they would be, you know, eco-friendly.
Oh, yeah. Or electric motorcycles. Yeah. It's like, so quiet.
Yeah.
So slow. I think actually Shadowrun does a little bit with this.
I don't know enough about Shadowrun know.
But you can have the Dwarven Outlaw Motorcycle Club, yeah.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
And for the most part, another element that you really need for an Outlaw Motorcycle Club, unless you're going to play them really against type or misunderstood, is some sort of crime.
Right.
And it tends to be organized, although I think like certain movies like The Wild Ones, it's less defined and they're more just...
Hooligans?
Like hooligans, exactly what I was going to say. And they just cause trouble, which is fine. But I see that it's kind of like a young group of guys, almost like a West Side Story gang, as opposed to an Outlaw Motorcycle Club. Some of the crimes they're into, we've mentioned before, gun smuggling, drugs, prostitution.
Some of the other crimes they do are trafficking stolen goods and extortion, as well as they could also possibly run chop shops. Again, going back to that sort of mechanical interest.
Yeah, I read that the showrunners of Sons of Anarchy didn't want to make the guys meth dealers because they just thought it would be too cliche.
Mm.
So they made them primarily gun smugglers.
Well, again, if you're going to put this in a game, I think the crimes that would be exciting, and I'm using that with air quotes, because, you know, in reality, no crime is exciting, are things that would require the group to actually use their motorcycles. Whereas, you know, gun running, they actually have to transport the guns, maybe not necessarily on their motorcycles, but they have to transport them from, you know, point A to point B. Prostitution, okay, I guess you don't really have to transport anyone for that, but...
They got legs, they can walk.
Exactly. Get off this motorcycle. But, I don't know, at least for a game, I don't think for lack of a better term, a static crime would be all that exciting or interesting.
Yeah, not if it's going to be like an ongoing thing. I mean, prostitution could be, if you're happy to have prostitution in your game, it could be okay, but like almost like a brothel.
Right.
I don't know how exciting it would be to have a brothel all the time, but it certainly can add an element of wrongness, for lack of a better word, or excitement where you go in. Again, this can be really offensive to some people because then the prostitutes become a currency.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Which can really darken the game if that's what you're going for.
Meth couldn't?
I think so because, I mean, when you make people currency.
Okay. Yeah.
That can, I mean, they're slaves. I mean, when you think about it, if you're looking at like slavery versus, like lotus poppies or like some poppies or whatever, something, I'm trying to think of something more medieval or fantasy.
Right.
Okay. And yeah, but that's what poppies are.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And one just seems indulgent and the other can seem very cruel.
Yes. Okay.
So I think that's where I'm going. And you see this in the Sons of Anarchy and it almost passes you by because you're kind of engrossed into this, like, this show and this culture. And then you're like, oh, hold on. He just like gave her to him. And I guess that's her job, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally see what you mean and agree with you. So.
And what do you think? I mean, we've talked about this. We've touched on the racial discrimination or segregation, also the gender politics. But I mean, if we're looking at what we've researched, a lot of misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that is definitely a part of the culture, and it is certainly played up. And it's not that the women are helpless. We certainly see like one of the female characters in the show really adding to the show and amazing. It's Peggy Bundy.
Right.
Katie Sagal. I mean, she's great. It's good to see her with such a great role. But for the most part, women are second class citizens within this culture.
Right.
And to take that out, you would be taking out a traditional element of the culture. And that's just something to be aware of and it's something you might want to do anyway. But then you might have to play up the idea of the prospects, or if you look at the fraternity, the pledges.
Right.
Then you really have to play up that these people that want to be of, you know, of their own volition, they want to be a part of it. Then they're very much second class citizens.
Right. Because again, getting back to that fraternity thing, as you said, like these people that want to be here are being put through sometimes terrible stuff to prove that they actually want to be here and are worthy of being here.
Yeah. So. And they are second-class citizens within the outside outlaw motorcycle clubs, but then I think you'd really have to play it up if you're going to take away the women are second class citizens part of it. Or you can flip it, men are second class citizens.
Right,
but,
right.
But play it up is that these prospects are traded for whatever reasons. You know, I mean, they can do things, or you're not going to beat up a prospect if he or she is the equivalent of an old lady, like some, you know, under somebody else's protection, like an established member's protection.
Yeah.
And if you want a dirty job done, then you can get the prospects to do it and things like that.
Right.
And I think that would be a little bit safer to have in your game, but would still give you the same kind of feeling or same kind of flavor.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you could do like a mixed gender outlaw motorcycle club, but if you did, as you said, Lyle, you would really have to play up the second class citizen nature of the prospects and the people who are not yet full members, because you've kind of lost something by taking out the gender inequality.
And I think another element is just that although there are elements of democracy within the club, it is very much a very much a hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the low ends, you're going to be doing a lot of crap things, and you're going to be taking a lot of orders.
Right, right. Again, kind of reminds me of a fraternity.
I think in a fraternity, though, there's you go pretty quick from pledge to brother. Whereas within the, this has elements of the mafia as well. I mean, you're made or you're not made.
Right, right.
Or elements of a university. You're tenured or not tenured.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do anything to get made or tenured or to become, you know, to wear the colors.
Right.
And one thing that we forgot to mention, we talked about the vehicle. The vehicle can also become part of that status.
Right.
Where they're always teasing whether or not the prospect can get a top rocket. Or like a good motorcycle.
Might not even have a bike at the beginning.
Yeah.
Now I was thinking of the fraternity thing because, at least in my experience, when you joined still mattered after you were a full member.
Oh, okay.
So in other words, like, someone who became a member earlier than you kind of still has seniority over you despite the fact that you are both higher than the prospect who is not yet a full member.
But then that just encourages you to take it out on the one lower than.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Crap rose downhill.
Yeah, definitely a pecking order.
Yeah.
So, and instead of hierarchy, maybe pecking order was what I was going for.
Yeah, I think pecking order sounds better because, yeah, then you take it out on the lower individuals. Yeah. Totally fun to play as protagonist because you get to take out all your frustrations on lower members.
Protagonist?
Yeah, I was trying to be sarcastic.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, I guess it's the player of the species. Well, since we're talking about it, let's look first at antagonists. How would you play, or how can you incorporate an outlaw motorcycle club into your game as antagonists?
Actually, as antagonists, they are... I'm trying to think of a good term for them. I think you said it before. I'm just going to use, like, wolf pack. As antagonists, they are kind of the scary... roll into town group of badasses. And there has to be a term for that. That's just absolutely flying out of my head, where dealing with one of them means you're dealing with all of them. And they're scary because they are that unified group.
Yeah, force of nature, wolf pack, where the, in many respects, because they have the colors, that becomes their face as opposed to having individuals.
Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I think it allows you. And I think a great movie for this, even though it has nothing to do with outlaw motorcycle clubs, is the Warriors.
Okay, yeah.
Where you watch that and you go, oh, you want to play gangs? Look at the Warriors and look at what he did. He just played up the colors aspect.
Right.
And it doesn't matter who the individuals are when you're looking at the antagonist. It's just how cool each one is. So you got the roller baseball guys, the roller skate guys. Maybe that was badder in the 70s.
Right. The orphan kids.
And that wasn't so bad. Okay, kind of some bad the lesbians. All right, but that a really identifiable thing, and it made them cool. With the Outlaw Motorcycle Club, you can play with the elements that we talked about. What are they riding on? What do they ride into town on? What are their colors? And that can be a lot of fun. Probably you're going to spend a lot more time on the colors when you're doing protagonist.
Right.
Because the guy's actually going to be playing them.
So, yeah, it matters
but
what
still
it looks
a
like.
Lot of fun, yeah.
No, you're bringing up kind of the wolf pack and, you know, the idea of them kind of rolling into town or them being this faceless mass. The other thing I thought of was the sound that their bikes make, because as you said, what they are riding is going to be very important. And then that made me think of the movie Waterworld, where you kind of had a biker gang in that with the smokers who rode jet skis.
That's right. That's right.
And again, they were all kind of faceless. They all kind of looked a certain way. When you heard that noise, you knew the smokers were coming. And here was this terrifying, faceless mob of guys on jet skis.
I think the noise is a really, really good point. You hear them coming, and just that deafening sound. They're going riding around you and around you, and it's pretty rare that you use sound with your antagonists.
Right.
I mean, I guess if you go back to the wolf pack, I mean, the howling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's certainly played up. I mean, the sharks, sure, but they don't actually have the Jaws theme following them.
I found that something that's either completely silent or really, really loud is scary. Kind of in the middle is not as scary, you know?
In a movie, yes. But in a game, I think silent things just become the norm because people don't play up the sound that something is making.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's like, oh, a pack of orcs show up. Other than you saying that there's a pack of orcs, no noise has signaled that a pack of orcs has come.
Right.
So, but then you can try to do that, you know, whether or not it's kind of, everybody's got access to the computers now, just playing that on your computer, just doing it with your own voice.
Or if you're like us here in Japan, just go outside with some kind of recorder when the Bozozoku ride by.
Oh, why didn't we even mention the Bozozoku?
Because they're annoying more than scary.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. For those people that don't know, that they are, I guess they would be like a really lame outlaw motorcycle club. They're young, and they are sort of they're actually the prospects for the Yakuza.
Yes, yes.
So they are they're trying to get into the actual organized crime. Or they don't get into it at all, and they go off and do their, you know, rejoin the society. But that's the idea between them. Most people's experience with them is them riding around at like 2 a.m. on usually scooters.
Yes.
Motorcycles. But what they do is they open up the muffler, so it's very noisy.
Yep, they intentionally make noise. Yeah.
And they intentionally drive really slowly, so cars have to drive slowly behind them and just to annoy people. So it's like an outlaw motorcycle club that's just annoying than anything, so.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, welcome to Japan.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, from my experience of the Bozozoku is very much like the hooligans, where they don't really seem to be into any crime other than being annoying and, you know, kind of maybe causing trouble just by their noise. So
I think also just the nature of the crimes, sure, all crimes are damaging, that's why they're crimes, but like guns, drugs, prostitution, these can be, although you said you talked about the mobility wane, they do affect a community.
Right. Because
the drugs stay in the community, whether or not they're being transported around the country, then they'll come into the community and stay.
That's true.
The prostitutes don't go to a different place every night. Whether or not they're on the streets or in the brothel, they're in the community.
Right. I guess if you want to be technical, pretty much all the crimes that the outlaw biker, the outlaw motorcycle club would be a part of affect the community, because the idea is if they're running guns, unless the town they're going through is on the path that they're running guns and not the destination point, the guns are going to stay there.
So you have a story where the community is being affected and damaged in a systematic way, not like the odd murder. Maybe a better way to put it is that the crimes are systematic and embedded in the community.
Okay.
So it gives the heroes a very, like, a static thing to fight, and it gives them a very colorful antagonist to have to beat in order to get rid of the drugs.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good point. Yeah. Rather, I was thinking of the motorcycle gang kind of as well, I mean, they are the bad guy, but I was thinking of the PCs as protagonists going head-on to facing the biker gang directly, where, yeah, getting them involved by, you know, giving them a reason to clean up the crimes that the outlaw motorcycle club has introduced to the area is another way to do that.
Yeah, and it does allow for, like, a recurring villain, because then, I mean, the club is mobile.
Right. No, I think that's a great thing, because people are always, not always, but lots of times people, GMs and DMs complain about, you know, PCs fighting to the end and, you know, the villains getting killed. And, hey, in this case, you know what? The biker gang, they might just, like, pack up and roll away, you know?
Yeah, and then come back.
Exactly, and then come back, yeah. Or the other thing is, if you're playing a road trip style game, well, then biker gang would be the perfect antagonist because they're mobile along with the PCs and can continue to follow and harass the PCs. Again, kind of like Waterworld.
No, it's good, like a good chase game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, even though it's not an Outlaw Motorcycle Club or a biker gang movie, was it Run with the Devil? Or Run from the Devil? Actually, it's called Race with the Devil.
Okay.
And it's a two couples out running away from like a bunch of occultists or devil worshippers.
Who are not on bikes.
It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I think some of them are on bikes.
Okay.
Yeah. But who's to say that your club would be on bikes, and who's to say they can't be devil worshippers?
Right, right. That could be their club name, the Devil Worshippers.
Hell's Angels. Why are they called Hell's Angels? You could give them a pretty real supernatural connection there.
Right.
The Mongols, maybe not so supernatural.
The Bandidos Motorcycle Club? No.
Yeah. Some of them it's not going to work.
So how about playing them as protagonists?
Yeah, and I think this is what I'd be more excited about because it allows you to play it with a few different angles. Probably going to be playing an anti-hero, and probably the whitest you can go, and white in the nice, pure sense as opposed to the skin color sense, is like a Robin Hood.
Right, right.
Yeah. Or yeah. You're not really outlaw.
Right, then you're an AMA-sanctioned motorcycle enthusiasts group.
Right.
Not an outlaw motorcycle club.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a reason it's Outlaw Motorcycle Club, because you don't conform to society's rules and may be a criminal. So, no, I agree with you that playing a Outlaw Motorcycle Club member as a protagonist would be the most exciting thing because of the varied backgrounds you're going to get among the PCs. Because you could be just someone who is like an anarchist and not in a, you know, blow up things sense, but just in a, I don't want to conform to society's rules, so I've joined up right alongside a, you know, hardened criminal.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the choices you need to make right away when you're doing the club as protagonist, is that, is the entire club a group of outlaws, but not necessarily criminals, or are they anti-heroes, or is the group a mix?
Hmm.
So are there full-on bad guys with anti-heroes?
I think you're absolutely right. And not to tell people what to do, but I would go with a mixed group. Because, as we said in the beginning, one of the core elements of an outlaw motorcycle group is kind of the sense of brotherhood or unity, or the idea that this group is something of a family. And so I think having that mixed group of anti-heroes and hardened criminals within the organization would lead to a lot of tension and a lot of drama, and it would be very interesting to play. If you're all one or the other, I think it's a little bit too easy for everybody to get along and agree with each other.
It's a good point. It comes down to whether or not you want to have that internal clash or you want to have everything external.
Okay, fair point. I just kind of assumed everybody wanted that drama in their game.
No, I would be the same as you, is that I would prefer to have that kind of dramatic element, because if you played it everybody's criminals, then you're just coming up with crimes.
Right. If you play the everybody as criminals, then you're doing the outlaw motorcycle, the I don't know, maybe modern version of the D&D Evil campaign.
Yeah, you are. There's different things you could do. You could be, okay, we don't do prostitution, but we run guns.
Right.
So we're going to keep out, and this is Sons of Anarchy, where you keep out those people that do, like, sell drugs, for example.
Right.
And you kind of protect your territory. And again, it makes it a very external game. It's your club versus everything else. And people can like that. You're playing, you do have some elements you can do, like the pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're planning crimes, and you'll probably be pretty ruthless in enforcing things. So you could do that. So yeah, I guess it'd be kind of like an evil campaign. If you're the anti-heroes only, like, I guess you have to have some reason for being. Like, why do you guys get together?
Right.
Is it to fight other motorcycle clubs?
I
don't know. But if you do something like the Sons of Anarchy, you've got people that, I guess, are struggling with the idea that it's a criminal organization, and people who embrace the idea it's a criminal organization. And, I mean, the criminal organization is in control, so how do you reconcile that?
Right, well, I was about to say, like, the group could be vigilantes, where, okay, we are, you know, this club, and we don't really conform to society's rules, but we still want to keep the community that we live in safe. And so we're going to prevent, you know, what we see as really heinous crime from happening in our territory. But the problem that gets into is, okay, you don't conform to society. You probably won't hold down a steady job. You know, you probably don't have a job. Where is the money for your organization coming from?
I was going to say, and now you're back to crime, because you're just extorting everybody.
And that's my point. Like, the money to fund this club has to come from somewhere. It's probably not going to come through normal means, because part of the reason of joining this organization was to get away from society. So oftentimes that inadvertently leads back to becoming criminals, which could be really interesting to play over a campaign in a game.
But, you know, that's something, an element that I think we missed early in the episode, is just the idea of you got to pay for it somehow.
Right, right.
Which makes it a very mercenary or share a lot of qualities with a mercenary group, and makes it different than a military organization or other organizations where, the money's coming from somewhere, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when we watch Sons of Anarchy, it's a big deal, and it comes up quite a bit in the story and can add a lot of interesting elements. Like, where is that money going to come from? And it, of course, it's because of the TV show, or maybe because it's just they're a criminal organization. It's not like, oh, next year we need this much money. It's like, oh, tomorrow we need $20,000 suddenly.
Right. It's dramatic. Or like, by the end of this week, we got to pay all that back, or, you know, or where we've lost a source of income because, you know, we won't be able to get our guns from that guy anymore. And that person who is not working a legal job will sell to someone else, possibly our competition.
Yeah. So, and that, as protagonists, that can be interesting, is like, even though your club is probably not totally good, and actually a criminal organization, you might have to deal with like other organizations that are even worse.
Right.
Because they provide the guns that you're going to smuggle or something, or they're the people that you're selling the guns to, or you're selling the drugs to, or they're your big customers for your prostitutes.
Yeah, those moral decisions are what would make playing an outlaw motorcycle club interesting as protagonist. So I think both you and I like that kind of thing, Lyle.
We do, and there are. I am going to try, you know, because I think we gave up a little bit too much on, okay, playing them as just a bunch of anti-heroes. I think you can have certain stories where something happens in society, and a lot of the elements in society collapse.
Right.
Like maybe order, like the police force collapses or something. Like, it could be post-apocalypse. Or it could be some sort of invasion. And one of the things that stays intact because they're very separate and internalized is the Outlaw Motorcycle Club.
Right. Right.
So maybe they are just the worst, you know, people that you can imagine. They're thieves, murderers, drug dealers, and then something happens. But they're about community as well. They're both the brotherhood and the people around them. So I guess it's up to us to defend this place.
Yeah, I you mentioning that, I think the only, not that I'm a huge, you know, zombie movie aficionado, but I think the only time I've seen a biker gang in a zombie apocalypse movie, or any kind of apocalypse movie for that matter, apart from Waterworld, was,
Dawn of the Dead.
Yes, Dawn of the Dead, where they're defending the shopping mall.
Well, they're actually antagonists in Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, they're antagonists in Dawn of the Dead, but that's the only time I remember seeing a motorcycle gang in an apocalyptic movie like that. And you mentioning all those things about, you know, community and being able to make hard decisions and kind of being useless lifestyle, yeah, they probably would be around after an apocalypse, you know, provided it was possible for people to be around. But
yeah, some games do it. Sorry. Some games do it in different ways. Like, I think it's a Savage World one where it's And I believe they took it from a comic book series where I think aliens invade and they kill all the superheroes.
Oh, you're talking about the Necessary Evil campaign.
Necessary
set.
Evil. Thank you. And that just leaves the supervillains.
Right.
Which I think is a really intriguing idea. And if it wasn't Savage Worlds, I'd probably play it.
Exactly. I'm right there with you.
But yeah, you can steal that idea easily. And this is just another way to do it. We are going to become, I mean, we have these rules, and we might, you know, these rules we might keep, and they're going to be pretty harsh, and for the people that want our protection, it's going to be pretty hard on you, but we're now doing a service, and we're now, you know, protecting, our community.
That's kind of a way to play them as good guys. It's not a way to, I'm not going to say it's a way to weasel out, but it's like, okay, let's do away with all the kind of criminal aspect and the fact that you guys are bad people, because society has now collapsed and you are the kind of the last people who still can offer protection and order and some semblance of, you know, community in this wasteland. So by default, you are now all good people, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Or you're just cohesive. You're strong. Or, I mean, you have a colorful way to work together instead of, I mean, by nature of the fact that it's post-apocalyptic, it can be pretty depressing.
Right.
And let's have a bunch of group of sad people hang out together, and this is going to be a fun game, trust
and,
me.
And ride motorcycles until they run out of gas.
No, put them on motorcycles. You know, have them not lose their fashion sense once, just because it's a post-apocalypse, you know? Oh, we like a little color on our back, and play it that way. But yeah, I mean, it's... The only other way to do them as pure good guys is, as you said, Wayne, really, is to be...
good by default?
No, what do you call that? Wagon train, where they just ride around doing good deeds. A lot like the 70s and 80s. You're doing the A-Team. So you're doing the Incredible Hulk, but they're all on motorcycles.
Right. So in that case, the roaring sound of a motorcycle gang doesn't strike fear into people's heart. It strikes hope.
Yeah. Oh, they're coming to save us.
Yeah.
Is that the A-Team theme I hear? What is the 18th theme? Dun, 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 dun.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Bam, 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 bam. Yeah. And they kill nobody.
Exactly, despite firing insane amounts of bullets.
You know, we could save some money by not putting many bullets in these guns. Okay.
Yeah. Don't recommend that for a game, though.
Yeah. But definitely playing within the internal politics and the internal clash would be more fun.
Absolutely.
No.
So.
All right. Well, that ends our creature feature on the Outlaw Motorcycle Clubs. And if we haven't mentioned it enough, we really recommend that you watch Sons of Anarchy, which is going into its 7th season. So we're pretty happy because we have a lot of seasons to look forward to.
I think it's its final one. So.
Yeah, 7th and final. Coming out this year, I think.
Yes. So.
It'd be funny, though, when we watch like season 2, season 3. We're like, oh, wow, everything we knew was wrong.
yeah, I'm waiting for that to happen when I start season 2. Like, oh, all right.
Who are all these black guys in the gang? And all these women cyclists. Oh, okay.
That would be pretty funny, though.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. So thanks again for joining us on Idle Red Hands. You can check us out online at www.idleredhands.com. That's idleredhands.com. You can listen to the episode right there on the website. You can download it from DriveThruRPG. You can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. You can plus one us on Google+.
You can follow us on Stitcher, and we're also on iTunes.
Yes, we are. Thank you. And again, as we said in the beginning, we really got to get Chris to record that outro. Or you can always just email us, because we always love hearing from all of you.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep,
that too.
Yep. Thanks a lot, and see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, Wayne and I have been working our way through season 1. Actually, Wayne's worked his way through season 1, even though we've had it for...
a while.
We started watching it a week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think about 2 weeks ago.
Right. And you've already seen all of season 1.
Yes.
Right.
Of Sons of Anarchy, the title of which you have yet to mention.
Really?
Yes.
I did not. Okay, let me do that all over again. I'm pretty sure I did.
No, you did not. You kind of did the comma of which Wayne has been watching, and I waited for you to go back to Sons of Anarchy, and you just kept going.
Drive-through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive-through RPG. the one true source for RPGs.
Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idolredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.